That's what's going on. There's a power struggle happening here in this region, in this state, and in the in this country. There's a power struggle. And the people of God, many of them are getting caught up in the power struggle, thinking that the way to gain that control and power is by exalting themselves. But Jesus said, no, you humble yourself. But if we humble ourselves, they're going to run over us. If we humble ourselves, they're going to persecute us. If we humble ourselves, we won't have nothing. Not according to the word of the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, would, what's the first thing on the list?
Humble
themselves, pray, seek my face, not seek position, not seek promotion, not seek dominance, not seek control, seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Woo! Then will I hear from heaven. And remember, we talked about one of God's responses when he hears his children. I'll bow the heavens. Can you say, I love that picture. See God moving the sky out the way so that I can get to my children. I will bow the heavens to get to my children. See, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. He says, I will forgive. I will forgive their sin. And here's the part that we really was after anyway. I will heal their land. There's been a cry coming up out, literally out of the soil of this region. God, hear us. God, change us. God, give us water. God, nourish us. God, we need you. Even if people don't know that that's what the cry is, because some of them, they think it's a cry to be with somebody. They think it's a cry for the next drug hit. They think it's a cry for the next drink. They think it's a cry for a new job. They think it's a cry to move into another new neighborhood. They think it's a cry to get my chance to move on up to the east side, a deluxe apartment in the sky. They think that that's what it's about. But that's not the cry. God, y'all heard that song. Y'all remember that song? They think that that's what the cry is for. And that's why people who have gotten those things met, they're still crying. Because they did get the new job. But when they got on the job, you ended up with people that are just like you. And no amount of money will ever pay for the drama that any of us have on our jobs. There will never be enough money. You said, go ahead and pay me the $90,000. I'll be cool. Yeah, for about a month. But all the pressure that they put on you to get stuff done, and when you start having to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, then you the next one saying, ain't no amount of money worth me going through all of this. So money doesn't do it. The promotion doesn't do it. And then there are other people saying, if I could just marry the right person, if I could just live in the right part of town, I know what it is. I know what'll solve it. If I could just move off of the hill and move up to Forest Hills, then everything going to be cool. That won't change it. That won't change. I know what? I'll move to the West Shore because there's heaven is on the West Shore. And all the West Shore people. If I could just move from the east side to the west side, then all of these problems and all the stuff I'm dealing with will just fade away. No, because it ain't changing your locale. That change. Because when you get over to the west side, then you got to deal with the west side demons. Who are still doing the same thing, intimidating, manipulating, dominating people's lives. They just got a different way of doing it. They do it with a smile. See, the east side demons, they don't do it with a smile. They just go, what you want? Get out my face. I don't like you. They just manipulate and they just do it right there. And am I right? You go to the west side and they just do it with a smile. Hello. Hi. Yeah, go this way. And then, you just, you're like, what was that? Stab me in my back. What was that? And then you turn, did you stab me back? Did I do what? I didn't do anything. Am I right, West Side? I just do it with a smile. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Is something stuck in my back? I don't see anything. Nothing's wrong. That's all. Just same stuff, just two different ways of doing it. Over here, it stab you in your chest. Just, yeah. You're like, you stabbed me? Yes, I did. Yes, I did stab you in your chest. Because I don't like you. I don't like you, your mom, your parents. I don't like any of y'all. And go to the other side, and they just stab you in your back and smile. You get the Miss America smile and wave. Same thing. So changing all. And here God, in the midst of all this chaos, all this craziness, God's raising up his church. And fruitful life, we get to be a part of what God's raising up because we're responding like he said. Humbling ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked way. Sometimes we don't see our ways as being wicked, but it is. You know what makes it wicked? It's because it's our way. It's when we want God to do. We want God to do what he's going to do, but I want him to do it my way. And that makes it wicked. Remember we talked about iniquity? Iniquity is lawlessness. It means I'm going to do it. It must be my way. And we carry iniquitous patterns, even in how we approach God. Yes, God, I saw the videos. You're going to do these wonderful things in us as fruitful life. And so, God, okay, here's my list. Here's the list of things I want you to do in fulfilling the vision that you gave us. And what God did, God is so funny. God like took Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol's list. He just blew on it. And when God blows on it, just catch on fire immediately. It's gone. Now, here's the first part. First thing, I'm going to plant you. Oh, okay, planting sounds good. Planting, okay. And planting means dying. Die. But we already died in St. Louis. We already been through death process. We don't have to do that again. We've been through all of that before. We know about all of that stuff, God. So I know we don't have to do it again because we've been through all of that before. We're 17 years in ministry, God.
We know.
We already know. And so you die.
Because you got to abide alone.
Because you must abide alone. That's part of the process. So part of even what's happening, what has happened to us corporately begins to happen to us individually, even in this new level that God has brought us. And that is now what we begin to die to is our expectation and our dream and our vision and our picture of what fruitful life is going to be. I love it because the thing that Lord keeps bringing back to my heart, it's like when you're having a baby and you're pregnant and you don't know what this child is going to look like. All you know is that it will have features like you, but you don't know what that's going to be. And even when they are born, when they're first born, about a week later, they change. Mm-hmm. And in another week, it changed again. They keep going back and forth between looking like their mama and looking like your daddy. Then somehow you look like one of the brothers or cousin, aunts or uncle. Then you look like a grandparent for a while. Then who is this child going to look like? And it's the same thing for a church and a ministry and all of the things that we can think what fruitful life is going to look like. And so what I'm saying to you is we're in that process where God is shaping and forming what he wants fruitful life to be. And this is part of the process. Therefore, let's be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Which means loving our enemies. I'm dying now. Pray for those that's I'm praying for them, Lord, kill them. Kill him. Kill him. I'm praying for those that spitefully use him. Kill him. Get him out of my life. I'm praying for those that spitefully. I'm praying for them. You said pray for them. I'm praying for them right now. Get them out. Get them out of my life. Lord, move them. Move them out before I kill them. Everything that they did to me, let it come back to them 100-fold. I know that ain't in the word, but still, they sold it. So you said if we plant and sold, it comes back 30, 60, and 100-fold. So let that what they gave to me coming back 100-fold to them. Yeah. And that is because here's one of the things that's very important, even for the ones that have hurt us the most. You know what, in God's heart and mind, even though what we just said, it is going to come true. They are going to reap what they sow. And it is going to come back to them. But something happens in our heart when we do it this way, where we find ourselves interceding for them and saying just the opposite. Lord, don't save them.
Your righteousness, your peace, your joy come to them. Your kingdom come.
And said, don't, Lord, don't kill him.
Your kingdom come. Yeah. Your will be done. Yeah. Not my will.
Not my will.
Because, yeah, I would like for them to be wiped out. But no, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Yeah.
And he works on us in such a way where you end up with what we, what I mentioned earlier, and that is you end up with a compassion for them. And that is, okay, Lord, I don't want to see them go to hell. As much as they have hurt me and they've harmed me and done me wrong, I'm not so mad that I want them to go to hell, because that's forever. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about hell. You got to remember, this ain't no, sometimes when we want somebody to be punished, you know, okay, I want them to be punished the way they've hurt me. And we mean that, and God understands that. But he's saying, but are you saying you want them to endure this forever? And then you back up and go, well, no, I'm not talking about forever, God. I want them to hurt like they hurt me. And I want them to understand the way they've hurt me. But I'm not, it's not my desire that they would be forever in the torment of hell. That's not what's in my heart. And the reason why that's so important is because that's an attitude and a spirit that God really, he really has stiff opposition against with his people, where we take on a position that even he doesn't have. Got to understand that God doesn't even feel that way. It is not his desire, the word says, that any should perish, but that all would what? Come to repentance. And so that's really what I'm sensing, that that's what's part of this prayer, even though it's not verbatimly stated in Matthew 5. But part of what happens to us in that process of praying for people, we begin to take on that type of attitude like the Lord. That it's not our heart, not our desire that any should perish, but they would come to repentance. So I'm praying for those that are my enemies and for those who persecute me and those who spitefully use me, because I want them to come to repentance. Even if they never come back and apologize to me, I want them to get it straight between them and you, God. They don't ever have to come back and apologize to me. That ain't even the issue.
The other side of that, too, is you never want to offend a person so that they have a bad taste in their mouth about God. We represent Jesus. So when we do things, we are his hands. We are his body. And people see us that way. And we never want to offend them so that they don't want God. I trust in him.